Welcome to Raising Deaf Kids. So, are you totally overwhelmed right now about what language to even start teaching your child? Should you start with listening spoken language and ASL or sign language like together right away? As parents new to hearing loss for their child, there are a few things that you do need to decide on now to give your child the best success at language learning faster. So we're going to go over how to pick a language modality that works for your child and for your entire family. So grab a pen and paper because you're going to want to take notes on this one, and let's get started. Are you struggling to find time to practice those speech goals every day and then feel guilty at the end of the day when it slipped through the cracks again? Or maybe you're not even sure what you're supposed to be practicing in the first place. Or maybe you dream of connecting with your kids through language, but that dream feels a little lost right now. So I remember when I had two kids with hearing loss, and I was faced with practicing two different sets of speech goals every day while parenting a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. Talk about busy. And all the while of keeping up with the day-to-day in the home. So I felt so stressed out and worried every day. I was so worried that, either things weren't getting done in my home and or my kids were not practicing their language skills enough. And I was pretty sure that my kids were never going to learn language. And so what I want you to know is that you can truly have it all. You can get all of the household chores done. You can be confident that your child is working on their language skills, and you can even have some fun too. And you can do it without the extra stress and overwhelm. And I want to invite you to sign up for a one-on-one coaching session with me so I can help you create a custom list of language strategies and activities to help your child learn language that also fits into your daily routine. So, in our home, I was able to focus on fun language activities paired with targeted language strategies that engaged my kids and allowed us to practice language goals in the fastest amount of time as possible, while also keeping it fun for my kids. So, my kids' language has soared ever since, and I do not spend hours a day working on language with them. So come right now to raisingdeafkids.com/coaching to see if this is the answer that you've been looking for. So you are maybe at the point right now in your hearing loss journey with your child where you need to decide what language to teach your child. So this is right at the beginning. So if you're at the beginning of hearing loss, you just found out that your child has hearing loss. Maybe you have like a baby and they're getting cochlear implants or like hearing aids soon. Anyway, you're at the point that you really need to start focusing on language. So you're in the early stages of like your hearing loss journey with your kids. And it might be obvious what language you want to teach your child. I think most parents, when you say, "What language are you teaching your child?" they're like, "My own language," right? So English, for us, it's English. Obviously, I want my kids to learn English because that is what I speak and they need to communicate with me because I am their mom. But, so for some of you, this is going to be an easy answer. Okay, you're going to say your own language and listening and spoken language, which is talking your own language, and your child is going to be able to accommodate that, and that's going to go great. Okay, but for some others of you, this whole decision is going to be a lot more nuanced. So, for example, my two children with hearing loss, for our first child, the decision for us was really easy.
right? He got cochlear implants. What are you going to do? Listening is spoken language. And we were didn't really even consider signing at that point because we knew that he had full access to language with his cochlear implants. And we were new in the hearing loss journey. We had maybe some misconceptions about what cochlear implants actually do. And we really did not understand the process that we were getting ready to have to go through. So I am now talking to you like 8 years down the road in hindsight. But I know at the time, it was just like obviously listening and spoken language. That was a no-brainer for us. And so we did that with my first child. And my second child, though, the decision was much more nuanced. Because my second child has a small cochlear nerve, and with e even with cochlear implants, he does not get full access to language. So now what do we do? Because listening and spoken language is not 100% on the table, because at the time, our audiologist is telling us, and the ENT, when they implanted our child, same thing, said he did not get the feedback that he was hoping for through the cochlears in the surgery when they test them, which we had suspected before. So that wasn't a surprise, but was a bummer to us because, I think we were hoping for the best and hoping for it to go more like it did with my first child. But the second time around, even though it was the same type of hearing loss, same cochlears, a completely different experience. And I'm gonna be honest, with my second child, we floundered for a long time trying to figure out what language to teach him that was going to work for us in our home and what language was going to work for him and like what he could learn and what he could accommodate. And then also what we could realistically take on in our home, being this was our second child at this point. And I mean, it took us like a few years to figure this out, a few years of switching between listening and spoken language, cued speech, more listening, spoken, finally to ASL signs, more ASL signs. Now we also use like a visual schedule and calendar, and we're still kind of iterating on this, to be honest with him. So if you are feeling a little lost in this decision right now, all of this is to say, it actually may not be an easy decision for you to figure out what language that you want to start teaching your child. But I also know, because I've been there, that you feel the weight of this decision on deciding what language to teach your child. And you feel the weight of it because you're having to make this decision so early on, like potentially when your child is a baby, right? We made this decision for our children when they were like 11 months old. Essentially, babies or very young children, when you don't even like their babies, you don't even know their preferences, and the first time around, you may even be like a first time parent. You don't even know about babies to begin with. Like, how do you make this decision that is going to basically affect the rest of their lives, right? So this is an important decision to make. There are some decisions that I will tell you that professionals want you to make right away and that you can wait on. Language learning is not something that I would recommend waiting on. When the professionals tell you that you need to start and you need to start teaching them language right away as soon as you can, they are correct. And that is the fastest way to start teaching your kid language and fastest time in getting them to learn language and communicate. So this is a decision I would say that you do need to put some thought into, and you actually do need to make this decision now, to be honest. So what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about a process to go through that are three steps. And we're going to go through these three steps together to make a decision on what language modality to use for your child. And these three steps that we're going to go through right now are going to make it easier for your family to make that decision that not only works for your child, but works for your whole family. Because when we're looking at language learning, we're not just looking at what works for your child, although that is, very important. We're also looking at what is going to be realistic for your family to do as well. So, Going to the first one, the first step in this three-step process that I want you to think about is number one, I want you to consider and understand the hearing levels of your child. So that is basically what can your child hear? And if you're new to hearing loss, this is your first time through hearing loss, what you maybe don't know is that it's not just a process of hear or not hear. There's so much gray area in hearing. It's not a black and white, they can either hear or they can't hear. There is no like can't hear at all. There is a can't hear at all, can't hear fully, but then there's like a thousand other levels, I don't know, in between. Okay, so this is might seem like a really simple question. Oh, they can hear sound. Okay, but what type of sound can they hear? So hearing sounds is different than hearing speech, like you talking. And sometimes with some hearing loss, you can hear sounds. So they can hear loud sounds and they may be responding to a loud sound, but they can't hear you talking. So if they can't hear you talking, they can't learn the language. Okay. So that's why I'm saying it's important for you to know what can your child actually hear right now? At what level can your child hear? Okay, because the level at which your child can hear may influence what language modality you can use. Okay, or what language modality is going to be the most effective for your child based on how much or what level they can hear. So, what I want you to do first and foremost is consult with your audiologist if you haven't already and take their recommendation. Okay, so they're going to be able to go over that audiogram with you, which is the printout of, you know, what your child can hear. And they're going to make a recommendation based on what they know that your child can hear. They're going to make a recommendation about which language modality is going to be the best for your child in this moment and that your child is going to have the most success with. And so that is the first thing because it doesn't ultimately doesn't matter what language we're doing. If your child can't hear it or can't be involved with it, they're not going to learn it. And so that doesn't matter. So number one, make sure you understand their hearing levels and make sure you understand reasonably what can you expect your child to hear or not hear, and get those recommendations for language from your audiologist. So the second step that I want you to go through is I want you to consider your family's values. So is it important to your family that your child learn the language of your family? And, you know, this could be for our family, we only speak English in the United States. For others, families, you may be looking at wanting to teach your child two languages, right? Maybe you speak one language in the home, and then but you're living in a different country, and your child needs to know another language to maneuver around at their school, you know, and in your community, right? I'll give you an example of like in the United States, you know, a Spanish-speaking family living in the United States, and I actually have a friend, she. Kayla Armas, she was podcast number three, I think, for us. I will link it in the show notes, but she actually came on very early on my podcast and she talked about what it was like being from Guatemala and living in the United States with a child with hearing loss. And she talked briefly in that episode about teaching her child, who is now 14. So this was a few years ago for her, but teaching her child both English and Spanish because she wanted her child to know Spanish so that he could communicate with her family, obviously in Guatemala, and because that was her native language. But he also needed to learn English because he's living in the United States and that was the school system that he was going to go to. So is it important for your child to learn the language of their family slash the language of the community that you're living in? And why is this important? Because language anchors families together, right? Language and communication, it anchors your kids to you. And what is important here is that you are your child's first and most important community. Don't let anyone tell you anything different, right? You are. The deaf community is there to help and support. They are great, but you know, you are the first community for your child. and you are the most important family is everything. And so having a language in common with your child anchors you guys together. And so it is important to consider, which language you want to talk or communicate in your family. And it's, very valid to say that you want your child to speak either your native language or the language that you speak in the home. So how are we going to do this? Once you decide if this is a family value, if that is important to you, then how are we going to do this? Are we going to do listening and spoken language in two languages? Are you going to do a signed language that communicates your native language? For example, if you use cued speech, just to give a little bit of a visual cue of the language that you're speaking, that still kind of fits in with like your native language. So once you decide if it's important for your child to speak your native language and your child has hearing levels, have the ability to do this, then you need to decide what is your game plan. Okay. And how you're going to present that language to your child. And then the third point is you need to be honest about what you're actually going to do. And I say this with like no guilt, no judgment. Okay. But I also understand being a parent. And we have a lot of ideas about what we want to do, especially when our kids were little. But in reality, the reality of what we're actually going to do is usually very different. And once again, I'm not saying that in, a judging way. It just is because raising kids is busy and hard. And we think we want to do all these things, but then when it comes down to the nitty-gritty of the day, we realize that like the reality of situations that we're not going to do as much or like what we thought we were going to do. So in this case, we really need to be realistic about what you're actually going to do in your home and what you're actually going to be able to practice in your home. Right? Because if you're only going to do what is your default, or you're only going to do what you are capable of doing. Okay. Yes, like we can always do more if we want to. We can make an effort. Absolutely. And I have no doubt if you're listening to this podcast that you are going above and beyond for your child. But still, in the end, we default was busy, which basically every day is when the kids is busy, then we default that to what we're actually capable of doing. You want to think about what are we capable of doing, and as long as it benefits your child, you need to think realistically what is going to work. If your child can. Your child's hearing can accommodate listening and spoken language. Are you realistically going to use sign language right now? Okay, if you know that listening and spoken language is on the table, you know that your child can learn it, they can hear the speech sounds. Are you going to take the time to use sign language? And you got to think about, or use cued speech, or use signed exact English, because you have to think about the time that it's going to put into you learning those languages, because you have to learn those languages first to be able to teach your child. Right, because you are your child's teacher right now. And to teach, we have to know the material first before we can teach it to someone else. So, is it going to be a priority for you to take classes or to have a mentor, or to take one-on-one classes? Because if it's not, and as long as it benefits your child, you might want to think about just doing what you're realistically going to be capable of right now, and you can always add on later. Okay, but the end goal is to have your child learn language in a way that benefits them and that is also realistic for your family. Okay, so hopefully going through this three-step process is going to help you make that all-important decision about what language to start learning with your child. And like I said at the beginning, it really is an important decision. And I know that you are probably sometimes feeling forced into making such a big decision so early. I understand that. But at the same time, I will say, in defense of this, the window of language learning is shorter of when a child's mind is totally primed for learning language, and you really need to make this decision and start working on language now with your child. Okay, so this process of consulting with your audiologist, considering your family values, and considering what the reality is for your family, it's going to walk you through that process in a neutral way where there is no judgment, right? It's just the facts and it's just collecting data. And then once you have the facts and the data, you can make your decision and you can get started because that's what I want you to do. I want you to just get started. I want you to get through this decision in a thoughtful way. And then I want you to start helping your child learn language. So if you're having trouble figuring out what language modality to use with your child, then book a coaching call with me. I would be more than happy to help you brainstorm and go through this process because sometimes it helps to go through the process with someone else. And I've been through this process twice in our family with both of our children. And honestly, a third time with our hearing daughter because we were deciding what we wanted to teach her. So I want to invite you to join me in a 60-minute language strategy session. So this is a one-on-one coaching session that is going to help you find the time to practice language with your child, know how to practice, and get clarity on the most effective methods and clarity on the language modality, which we talked about today, to start teaching your child language. And we're going to do all this so that you can teach your child to learn language in less time. So I want you to head right now to book your first coaching session at raisingdeafkids.com/coaching. And I also have the link in the show notes. And I am so excited to be working with you and your family and getting your child learning language and communicating with you guys. I just love language learning, and it's just so fantastic to be able to work, with families. So please, please go and book that coaching call so that we can get your child learning language in less time. So I hope this episode calms your soul today. And as parents, we want the absolute best for our kids. And unfortunately, kids with hearing loss don't come with a handbook. And I want you to know that simply by being here and listening, you're doing a great job as a mom or as a parent because you are learning and trying to find better ways to help your kid. So I'm proud of your efforts today, and I'm so glad that you're here. And I will see you for the next episode on Thursday, where we're going to talk all about how to stop dreading the IEP meeting and start effectively working together with your IEP team. I'll see you on Thursday. Hey, Mama, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you take 30 seconds and subscribe to this podcast? I never want you to miss an episode and to be without valuable information to help you and your family. Also, please leave a quick written review for the show on Apple Podcasts. It lights me up to know this podcast is helping you. Now go check off the rest of your to-dos so you can love on your family today. And I'll meet you here every Tuesday and Thursday for podcast episodes to support your whole family in language learning. Ciao, Mama!